You're listening to DraftKings Network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey, please drink responsibly.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Stugatz, why did you just wave a dismissive hand at your computer and say to your computer, give me a break?
There's a baseball fan, Red Sox Yankee fan, a Yankee fan who grabbed a baseball. A Red Sox outfielder was flipping it to a Red Sox fan at Yankee Stadium, and a Yankee fan intercepted it, and he threw it back, and he hit the player in the back, and he should be in trouble, the player. But they banned him. First off, are we certain that he did that intentionally? I don't know if that's been proven yet.
I don't care about intent. What difference does it make?
Fans throw baseballs back all the time. They do it at Wrigley Field. If the opposing team hits a home run, they just do it in certain places. But I'm just laughing at the notion that this fan, who's a Yankee fan, has been banned from every baseball game and every baseball stadium for the remainder of his life, for the remainder of time. So you're telling, no one's going to enforce it, Dan. It's laughable that this man is going to walk into a Reds 110 Monday game and there's going to be a security guard sitting there going, hey, you're not allowed in here. I mean, no one's going to enforce it. It's dumb.
It's going to be hard to enforce. There were some, that wasn't even the worst thing that happened at a baseball game this weekend. The Red Sox just walked off the field when that happened. It is difficult to enforce, but if you're baseball and you want to discourage such things, and you know, we came out of this pandemic crazy and immediately started throwing things at the basketball players, and everybody is a little sad and scared and sick and behaving weird, and so you get these things that infringe upon sports as well. But the scarier one, after the All-Star game had an arrest a block away that had us wondering, because there were 16 long guns and body armor and hundreds of rounds of ammunition, whether somebody was thinking about just assassinating people at the All-Star game, even though they showed it to be something else. You guys saw, right? Fernando Tatis and Manny Machado sort of ushering panicked fans into their dugout and clubhouse like it was a bomb shelter because there were gunshots nearby. This stuff, I don't know that there's any way to get away from it. If it's happening everywhere in our streets and stuff, some of it is going to leak into sports. But let's talk about some of the happier things from sports this weekend, and an old favorite being able to make fun of the Mets, who actually won the game in question while allowing 6 first inning runs to the Pirates. But I've never seen what happened in that game before, which is the Mets have a pitcher, Taijuan Walker, who's been very good this year. And that poor guy, let's think about this for a second, okay? You are somebody who only works in front of the lights 1 every 5 days. You're right, working on your craft 1 out of every 5 days. And this person has been a good pitcher all year. His ERA, 2.5 all season. The Mets aren't actually that good, but their record is better than their run differential, and that is a weak division, so they are in first place. And that guy comes out working one every 5 days, and yesterday he has an outing. His ERA for the day was 135. He pitched a third of an inning. He walked four guys, allowed four hits, allowed six runs in a third of an inning. His ERA went from 2.5 to 2.99. So that hurts, okay? But the way that that happened, Stugatz, where there is a ball that's just nubbed down the third base line where the bases are loaded, and he does that thing that pitchers like to do where they – or really infielders like to do when a ball is spinning weird – they wait or try to wait till it's in foul territory and just hit it with their glove as hard as they can. But evidently, it wasn't yet in foul territory. Evidently, it was still on the chalk when he did it. So he did it. He's proud of himself. And they're just Pirates running around the bases. And that's as free as the Pirates have felt in like 10 years.
I mean, they never stop. They just keep rounding the bases.
Everybody was just running around the bases. And he was just standing there waiting and expecting somebody to go get that baseball for him as his day goes swirls down the toilet, as Pirates run around the bases, as his ERA swirls down the toilet.
Waiting for a ball to go foul or fair is a very dangerous game for a pitcher. It is, and that one got him, and it got him good. I think they scored three runs on that
They scored play. Three runs. That is correct.
It was actually the weirder situation in baseball where the ball started out foul and was headed back in fair, and he didn't get it quick enough, so it touched the line, and then he threw. He would have, honestly, it would have been better for him to pick it up and throw it into the upper deck than what he did, because at least the ball would have gone out of play and all of the runs wouldn't have scored. He did himself a disservice by merely just kind of throwing it towards the dugout, because if he would have knocked it out of play, three runs would not have scored on that play.
I would like to examine this with you guys for just a second, okay? Because it's easy for us to laugh at, but these people are paid a lot of money to have pride in their craft, and they work very hard to have something like a 2.5 ERA. That guy is standing by the catcher after he has whacked the ball, and he never goes to get it until two of the runs have scored and the third is clearly coming in. And I don't know what he was waiting for, as the umpire is sitting right in his face saying that that ball is still fair. I just don't know how you stand there and wait for someone else to go get it.
It looked like there was a moment where no one knew where the ball was. They kind of were like looking around.
Well, he knew where it was. He had just hit it very hard with his glove.
No, but Chris is right. It looks like one of the runners perhaps kicked the ball. Then all of a sudden, everyone's searching for the ball. Right?
He flipped it up in the air, but he didn't see where it went. I saw confusion on the Mets player's face. It's like a brief 5 seconds, where is the ball?
Forgive me. I did not see whatever angle Stugatz has. Is Stugatz making stuff up? Do you guys
yes.
have a Pirates runner kicking the ball?
That's impossible. He would have been called out or something for interfering with the ball. He did not kick the ball.
I had the Mets pitcher flipping it and then kind of losing where it went. And he thought he flipped it up and he was looking around, but it went towards the dugout.
Or yes. Maybe he went to pick it up and he lost control of the ball. But there's a time where he's picking it up right on the baseline, right on the line. And then he's running 5 feet out of bounds, right? Like he's running towards his dugout to get the ball. It's weird.
What
did anyone see this?
I saw it.
I'm watching it now. I don't know,
but you're clearly not watching it correctly. You had a Pirate. What are you doing when you're not counting money? You're not following your baseball team. What are you doing?
They came back and won that game, Dan. First place, Metropolitan.
Thank you, Stugatz, for a whole lot of nothing. Mike, how are you feeling in general about the way that this basketball series has turned, where there's a very interesting thing happening where fans of basketball are being very proprietary, very prideful about, we love this thing, and that last game was a magical basketball game. And they're coming after us because we are the show who said the thing that wasn't respectful enough. Amin Alhassan said that the Milwaukee Bucks might not win, or he didn't have any confidence they would win a game in the series after the Suns won the first two games. He said they're one of the worst finals teams ever. They have not lost since then. And we as a show had a poll question. is this the worst finals ever? And now we're the only ones who have cared enough to say a negative thing about this series. And so you've got your buddy Rob Perez, Worldwide Wobe, saying, if you're not enjoying this NBA, if you're not enjoying these NBA finals, you're just telling on yourself.
Okay. Yeah, no, I have been telling on myself. I've been telling you I'm not watching it. You guys did something on Saturday? You watched it? I just carried on living my life. I don't have the interest in watching it. I'm sure the basketball is fine. It's the NBA Finals. They are good teams. That's usually how this one works out. I'm glad that the series has been more interesting because the games have been a little bit more competitive, but I'm not going out of my way to watch it because I don't find it interesting. I'm not invested in it. I'm sorry, but that's me. That's my choice. You don't get to speak for me. I speak for me here.
It was very good basketball on Saturday night.
It's on Saturday night. What are they doing? They used to avoid Saturday nights. I'm not doing that. I'm doing boy shit.
Okay,
very good. You're doing what? I'm sorry.
What?
What?
You could feel free to explain, or we could just end the segment.
He is so ashamed of himself.
He really is.
He's not explaining that.
We can end the segment.
Very good. Let's end the segment and regroup.
Stu Gatz here for my friends over at Simply Safe. When you travel, do concerns back home nag you? Did you lock up? Did you leave a window open? That's why I recommend investing in Simply Safe Home Security today for award-winning security and peace of mind wherever your summer plans take you. I've had Simply Safe in my home for many years now. The peace of mind it gives me, especially during the summertime when I'm all over the place, is incredible. Because I know the things I care about, the things I value back home, I can always keep an eye on it using Simply Safe's indoor and outdoor cameras. So do me a favor. Before you head out on your next vacation, make sure to protect your whole home with Simply Safe's variety of indoor and outdoor cameras. Plus, add sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more. It's backed by 24/7 professional monitoring for less than a dollar a day. No contracts to worry about and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Simply Safe has given me and many of my listeners real peace of mind. I want you to have it too. So right now, get 20% off any new Simply Safe system with Fast Protect monitoring at simplysafe.com/DLB. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
Don Levitard.
Stu Gatz, if you give him the choice, Stu Gatz, you can have the very same thing one of two ways. You could get it honestly or you could steal it. He'll always choose stealing it.
Stu Gatz.
Well, it's the quicker path. I mean, it's just, you know.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stu Gatz.
There were some interesting things from the finals, whether or not you care about basketball or not. LeBron not being in the finals, wanted to be close to the action, so he came in courtside. There was a bottle of liquor under his chair, a liquor that he is invested in and may have been there strategically.
I'm also not having that he just wanted to watch basketball. Space Jam was in theaters this weekend. He was trying to get the crowd shot of LeBron James
in
the game.
Of course. He wanted to be near the finals, and I loved what Disney ABC did to the graphic because Space Jam is in the theaters and it just knocked out Black Widow. As LeBron is there, they put up on the screen 31% Rotten Tomatoes score, 38% media critic score. That is absolutely Disney doing that on purpose to Warner Brothers, correct? Now, Slate has described the movie as an abomination, and I don't know what you expected because all it had to do was be big, right? It didn't have to. We're not looking for art there. We're just looking for nostalgia and kids. What else are we trying to do there? Of course, LeBron James doesn't love basketball so much that he simply wanted to watch a game courtside because he just can't be away from basketball. He wanted to not only sell his movie, but also sell his liquor. How can anyone get into an arena with their liquor and put it under a seat? These guys have gotten so good at this. You know, that 10 years ago, these guys have put their jerseys over their mouths so that you can't lip read on what it is that they're telling each other. They know when they're being watched.
Did he chalk this up to supporting Chris Paul? Is that what he's doing? Like, hey, I was there to support my friend CP3 to help him try to win his first NBA title. And that's the way you do it if you're going to do it. So
you would know how to do things insincerely.
I would. And yes, we'd all be kicked out. If I brought my own bottle of liquor to any arena in America, I would not be able to get in with said bottle of liquor.
He's LeBron James. That was totally promotional there. But guys, I think... burying the lead here when it comes to LeBron being at that game. because my world got set fire to. Adele set fire to it. She sets fire to the rain and NBA Twitter dating circles as Adele was pictured with Rich Paul.
You've got to admire the hustle on Rich Paul. You have to. All of it. Wasn't he selling T-shirts for LeBron? Isn't that how
they
all
met
of
at
that
an airport?
Isn't that how all that crazy began? You have to respect and admire the hustle. Stugatz must be insane with jealousy that he couldn't figure out that all he could do was me. That he
I could have had LeBron.
That he couldn't do what Rich Paul did, which is parlay all of that. There was a profile in the New Yorker on Rich Paul, and the writer wrote in the profile that he could not tell whether or not they were talking about Rich Paul. And he did not name the pop star, whether they were talking about Adele for the writer's benefit. He couldn't tell whether they were talking about the fact that she might come by later so that the writer would absorb that and write about it or not. And so Adele, she's not out in public that much that way, is she? Like, that is not something you see very often.
We very rarely get a glimpse into her private life. Occasionally she'll dress up at a reggae fest and we'll be like, what's that? She's into that stuff, huh? And now we're finding out. You guys have to see this picture. I can't be the only one that's seen this picture. It was, you know, she got hit with a bunch of cultural appropriation stuff, but it was pretty shocking because I don't know if you know this, but Adele, queen of the breakup song, she had a divorce. So that album's going to be fire, but now she's enchanted with love.
Are you guys telling me in the chat here that I got fooled by the internet again? That was fake? What was fake? The bottle was fake?
No, the bottle was real. The graphic was fake. It was not a bad Rotten Tomatoes score.
Oh,
it was displayed.
Damn. I thought that would have... I'm sorry.
You weren't watching the finals either. Huh?
I didn't see that. No, I did watch the finals game. I had to. We've got to do all that post-game stuff we were doing.
Nope. You could have done what I did. Saturday? Nope.
I couldn't have done bleep boy bleep.
I mean, you realize how unprofessional that would have been if Disney actually did that.
Oh, I wish they had done it. That's my bad for getting fooled by the internet. God, that stinks.
I think we agreed that some sort of fine.
What is the fine?
It's $25.
Is me being fooled by the internet now a fine? Is that
it has been for a while.
Yeah. It has been a fine. Okay.
Yeah, but Rich Paul is still dating Adele, right? We're certain of
that's
that.
Real.
I didn't know what it is the internet had fooled me on. Was it the bottle of liquor? Was it Adele?
NBA will do that. Laura Dern and Baron Davis dated for a while, and that one surprised me too. Laura Dern's got a wild side to her too. Mm-hmm. Like, she's like a very bohemian spirit. I think she was with Ben Harper for a while. I love Laura Dern.
So do I.
I think she was like 23 years old when she made Jurassic Park, which is wild because she seemed like a 35-year-old mother of two.
Yeah.
Put her on the poll, Guillermo. Did Laura Dern seem like a 35-year-old mother of two when she was 23 years old in Jurassic Park? One of the funny things that happened in the post-game press conference after that game, I don't know if you saw this, Stugatz, but you had a situation where Chris Paul and Devin Booker are on the podium being interviewed after a heartbreaking loss. And a lot of interesting things happen in that game. I mean, we could sit here and talk for a while about whether Jrue Holiday did the right thing mathematically, having the ball with 16 seconds left and deciding to alley-oop it there.
They won the game, right?
Yes.
He did the right thing.
Okay, thank you. I'm just talking about whether or not the numbers crunchers would support. It was a magical moment to finish the game that way and lob it up. But if he'd missed the alley-oop and gotten fouled and missed the free throws, we'd be talking today about what a choker Giannis Antetokounmpo is, and you would be.
I'd be crushing Holiday, Giannis, everyone. You'd be
crushing everybody.
Yeah.
And now Stugatz is somehow going to make his way toward being right on Chris Paul, possibly, not really, but he can sit here and do the same thing that he's done, even though Chris Paul had 70 points in two consecutive games. Somehow, if Chris Paul loses, Stugatz is going to be able to take his victory lap of criticizing and crushing Chris
Paul. Well, he's been bad. He deserves it. He's been bad the last three games where they needed him to be really, really good, and he just hasn't been there. Like, he's averaging 5 to 6 turnovers a game, Dan. He's not playing that well. And if you're Monty Williams, I think in this particular game,
Dan, they are minus 17, I believe, over the last three games with him on the floor. Like, you got to think about something different at this point,
don't you?
Well,
the last time you did that, he scored 41 and eliminated the Clippers, I think, or 45. The last time you benched him for Cameron Payne, that's what he did. So your theory on why this is happening to Chris Paul is?
Drew Holiday is really my theory. That's where it really started. Like, Mike and I talked about this during the regular season, how big of an addition that was for this Bucks team because of how good he is defensively. He'll give you good offensive games, but he's kind of inconsistent. Defensively, he's always there. And so when they moved Holiday onto Chris Paul has been a shell of himself. He just hasn't been as good. And that's why the Bucks. It's interesting with the Bucks. They're doing it this old school way. This is why we respect Michael Jordan so much. He stayed put and let the team build around him. And that's what Giannis has done. Middleton has become a better player, and the Bucks gave up a lot to get Drew Holiday, and it's paying off. But I would say if you're wondering why Paul's not playing as well, it's because defensively Drew Holiday is really, really good.
And they may be one of the luckiest champions of all time. Kevin Durant's sneaker size, maybe a little too large, 1 inch the other direction, and they're eliminated. They've benefited from a lot of injuries, but they will become the poster children for if you're one of those mid-market teams and you need a piece, you're a piece away, go all in on the Drew Holidays, go all in on the PJ Tuckers, because you can eventually be a champion if you have a player as good as Giannis Antetokounmpo, and they've done it.
And I think Damian Lillard is seeing that with Portland, where he's sending some messages over the weekend, like he wants to stay there, but you have to go all out. Like, he feels like he's in his prime and he has a chance to win a title, and they need to surround him with better players than CJ McCollum. That's what he feels like.
He denied all of that. He denied all of the reports. You mentioned the sneaker size of Kevin Durant. I do find interesting with this stuff. I will never stop finding this part of it interesting, because Stugatz can waver and waffle from side to side. But if Kevin Durant had a smaller foot, Drew Holiday would have done nothing in these playoffs. The first two rounds was nothing from Drew Holiday. They would have been eliminated in the second round.
Right.
And his games were against Atlanta, and his games are now. He got more chances. This is what I'm always telling you about sample size. Keep giving good players chances, and you will get memorable performances. But go look at the game logs on Drew Holiday. Go tell me, remember something from what Drew Holiday did when he was carried into the next round by Kevin Durant's foot size.
Right.
And he got
But Dan, you could do that across sports, like forever. You can go back and say, if this happened, this wouldn't have happened.
But what's always there is his defense. But what I'm saying to you is you wouldn't be talking about his defense, knowing about his defense, or doing anything other than criticizing the Bucks for mortgaging their future for his defense, if not for the shoe size of Drew Holiday. That's where and how you always get to be right, or the shoe size of Kevin Durant, rather.
Right.
So anyways, the point that I was making is that they ask Devin Booker in that press conference after that loss, how frustrated are you for Chris Paul right now? So they're sitting next to each other, Devin Booker and Chris Paul. They're sitting next to each other. How frustrated are you for Chris Paul? And neither one of them knew how to answer it. They just sort of stared, and there was this silence. They were asking the question, and there was just this clumsy silence. And I don't even know who it is that said next question. I couldn't even tell in the press conference. But that you would arrive in the finals as 36-year-old Chris Paul after having in – he did have two games combined, right, where he had something like 70-something points combined in two games here pretty recently.
It was the last game of the last series and game one of this series. He was great, and then he fell apart.
When do you hear pity in a press conference? Devin Booker, with Chris Paul sitting right next to him, Devin Booker feels plenty bad. He got stripped at the end of the game.
Right.
With the last shot after scoring 42 points. He feels plenty bad. How often do you get the question, how frustrated are you for the guy? How much pity do you have for the guy sitting right here next to you?
I mean, hearing you guys talk about it, it feels like I miss a hell of a game.
As you were doing Bleep Boy Bleep.
The Dan Le Batard Show with Stugatz is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Keeping things bottled up can feel like carrying a weight that gets heavier with time. Whether it's talking to a trusted friend, journaling, or seeking professional help, finding ways to let out your thoughts and feelings can bring relief and help you navigate challenges more effectively. Remember, it's okay to reach out for help when you need it. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/DLB today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/DLB.
Don Libertard.
That bear was not on Hal's deck. Excuse me. I was going to say desk. I meant deck. I botched it. Terrible. $2. Penalty box, 2 minutes. See ya. Home for the day. Walk to the ocean. What do you want me to do? Super Bowl week, Dan. I didn't ask for any of this. And I have no money. Aqua?
Stugatz.
Walk to the ocean.
What?
Walk to the ocean.
I really have no money.
Get out of here. Get out of here. I'll do the show without you.
I don't like.
This is the Don Libertard Show with the Stugatz.
Chris Cody, there is no particular reason that I'm asking you this question. But Mark Wahlberg, who is preparing for a new role and is somebody who is so obsessive compulsive about working out that he has in his hotel room, Stugatz, when he is anywhere in the world, he has entire gyms put in his hotel room. He's not using hotel rooms. He's just putting all of the equipment. It must be something right. contractually that he does with his movies. He is eating 11,000 calories a day and says it is no fun for a new role. Now, I would say to you, if you're Mark Wahlberg, you don't have to take your acting that seriously. You don't have to do anything at this point in your life that's not fun because you're trying to be some method acting thespian. You should eat and live the way that you want and make the movies that you want. But does 11,000 calories a day sound like it's no fun? Yes or no? I saw this with Brendan Fraser the other day because Brendan Fraser has, it's just alarming. What's happened to Brendan Fraser? And this is coming from a fat guy, but Brendan Fraser is a sex symbol, and it what he looks like. He was a sex symbol at the height of his powers, and what he looks like now is I would describe it as alarming. So, Chris Cody, my question to you is: 11,000 calories a day, fun or no fun?
My first thought was fun, and then I thought that you would make me do it. So I'm going to go with not fun.
Better chance he makes you do it, though.
Does anyone around here want to try 11,000 calories a day and tell us whether it is fun or not?
Brendan Fraser, my God. Yes. Oh, man. Yes.
It's not just the fat. I feel like this is a dick move also because I struggle with this as well. It's the hair. He used to have luscious lettuce, and now that's it's just he needs to spend money on that.
He did have flowing
he
locks.
He spent it all on food.
It is. I can only describe it as alarming. Would anybody be willing here to sign up for a? I wouldn't make you anybody do it for a week, but
Roy's got this. One day, Roy, come on.
Yeah, Roy.
One day, 11,000 calories, and you come in the next day, and you just tell us: is that enough of a sample to have have a reading on? No, says Billy.
No, we're not doing this because this is going to lead to another Gary and Carl meeting about a pepper again. No one's eating 11,000 calories.
He's right.
Stops today.
I don't think 11,000 calories in a day is in any way dangerous. I think a lifestyle of 11,000 calories a day. Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Libertard Show. Is 11,000 calories for one day dangerous?
I mean, Dan, it has to be.
Couldn't you just be doing milkshakes?
You have to eat 10 Big Mac meals a day. Because I just looked it up. A Big Mac meal is 1,100 calories.
Ouch.
Good math.
That is hard.
I had to look it up on my phone. I typed it in just to make sure.
It's more than 11,000 calories. That would be 9, I think. I think 9.
I literally did it on my phone. 1,100 times 10 is 11,000. It's been a rough morning. I was like, I got to make sure before I go to air with this.
Let's see what my phone says.
Let's all do it. 1,100.
We're all going to do the math on
10,
this together.
Carry the one. I'm just filling time while
right.
Yeah, it's 11,000.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Good job, Chris.
Did you guys see that the news, and I don't know why this is happening to us. Perhaps it's because we're not on ESPN anymore, but it took about 2 weeks for the news to disseminate from that author, Matt Sullivan, coming on with us and talking about the Nets and telling us that it is not an uncommon thing for the Nets, because they run that organization, to have the organization pay for B&Bs for the women of players to have a place to stay. And Amin told us it's not that uncommon a thing as well. But it made me look back, because I did not know that that was not an uncommon thing. And now it's being reported elsewhere by a variety of different people. But didn't we kill Kawhi Leonard's Uncle Dennis because he was asking for all sorts of things that are commonplace when he wanted to go to the Clippers? And I was just not aware. And I don't think the audience was aware. And I don't think most people are aware that the players can reach a place of power where they run organizations so much that the organization has a budget for just like things that they need on the side, including B&Bs. And it makes sense to me, right? If you're in a salary cap sport, Stugat,
yes,
and you're somebody like Kevin Durant or Kyrie Irving, who is making an entire economy blossom for a sports team the moment that you arrive, and specifically if you were listening to what we did last week with the author who told us that Steve Ballmer, the Clippers for him, they're a tax write-off, that it's a $2 billion thing that allows him to just not pay taxes. Mm-hmm. If you're Uncle Dennis, of course you go in there and say, well, how badly do you want Kawhi, Ballmer? Let's get a whole bunch of trinkets and things that are outside of the salary cap, because you are insistent on being great at basketball, and I've got a singular thing that can make your team relevant at basketball and make it an economy.
I know it's a bit jarring to hear some of that for fans, but why would they be surprised? These guys are the best in the world at what they do. They have so much value to the organization that once they sign with that organization, yeah, they run the organization. They're the bosses. Like, why are people surprised by that? They're better at what they do than we are at what we do, than all of us, right? So why would you be surprised by that?
Stugatz, I've been working in this industry for 30 years.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that athletes are having the homes for their ladies paid for by an organization in what seems like a clear salary cap violation that would give you competitive advantages around the salary cap if you just said, hey, Athlete X, you know what I've got for you? A $10 million budget outside of this to just have every single thing that you want paid for by the organization. I'm surprised by that. I'm not surprised that the players would ask for it. I'm surprised that no one has found out about it until now, because it doesn't seem like when Dennis Rodman was living at the home of Mark Cuban for a while, Dennis Rodman and Mark Cuban got into trouble for that because it was a salary cap violation for Dennis Rodman to be allowed to live in the owner's mansion. There are reasons. I'm not exactly naive about rule breaking, but right. I think the reason that it's newsworthy is at least in part because a whole lot of people would be surprised by that. But speaking of Rodman, and I wonder what you guys make of this. Did you see Rodman's quote on the aforementioned LeBron James that came out this weekend? No. Dennis Rodman said of LeBron James, quote, he doesn't have any moves. The only move he has is straight down the line. His game is too simple. Dennis Rodman saying someone else's offensive game is too simple.
His game was grabbing rebounds and putting them back in, if he did, or kicking it back out to Michael.
Not even putting them back in. I don't know that there has been a more simple offensive game in the history of the league, and certainly not in the Hall of Fame, than Dennis Rodman's. There simply can't be. Can there? Is it even possible in any way for us to have in any, never mind the Basketball Hall of Fame, in any Hall of Fame in the history of Hall of Fames in sports, is there an offensive game more simpler than the one Dennis Rodman takes into the Hall of Fame?
George Mirasan.
He's not in the Hall of Fame. What Hall of Fame?
Basketball Hall of Fame, anyone might be in.
He might actually. Yeah,
exactly.
But no, in terms of like an offensive game that was more simple than Dennis Rodman. Jorge Mirasan, I think, was one of the simplest games I've ever seen. He's like the tallest player to ever play in the NBA, I think. Just dump it into the big guy so he can try to lay it up at the rim.
Boban, similarly. This is a question. Oh, no, I guess Boban. I guess Boban does. Yeah, Boban's got more than that. Yes, that is correct. Let me throw it out to the group here. Does anyone have an opinion they can give me? And I know this is a question we could have asked about Dennis Rodman at any point in the last 30 years. How's he doing here? I'm dead serious. Like, what? Like, why? Why?
What do you mean, the LeBron stuff? He's comparing him to Michael Jordan. That's what he's doing. I believe that's what he's doing. He's saying Michael Jordan was a much better offensive player, well-rounded offensive player, had more moves, had the baseline jumper, could drive to the hoop. That's what he's saying. He's not wrong.
Steve Novak.
Oh!
Steve Novak had a very simple offensive game. Mm-hmm. Just stay in that corner. That was his entire career. In college, too. Just stand there.
You got anything for us, Stugatz? Because you fancy yourself a golf aficionado. Do you have anything for us on Colin Morikawa? Because you were telling us for a while there that it was going to be Spieth and it was going to be Ricky Fowler and that the young players were coming and they were coming to take over the sport. There was a while there where you had three or four that felt like they were coming for Tiger Woods' stuff, but now this is the only guy to do what Tiger Woods has done, where before the age of 25, he's winning a couple of specific majors.
Well, the Open and the PGA Championship, to be specific, and then he's one of three guys to have three majors two majors in such a short span before the age of 25. So, Dan, he's doing historical stuff. To be the only guy in the same sentence as Tiger Woods in terms of winning the Open Championship and winning the PGA Championship before the age of 25 is special. And now he won his first major. There were no fans there. And I said, do it when fans are there. And fans were there at the Open Championship over the weekend. And he wasn't good in that final round. He was historically great in that final round and had so many up and downs, big up and downs to save par on a really difficult course. Now, he got a break with the weather. They all did. The weather was good. But what he has done, Dan, is historical. And I feel like when Tiger Woods was doing all this stuff, we talked about it nonstop. And I don't think anyone's given this guy enough credit. And we're not paying nearly enough attention to what it is he's doing. He's 24 years old. This is crazy.
Let's play off of...
Do it when fans are there, Stugatz. Come on. Do it when fans are there.
No, I said that after the PGA. Now he did it. Like,
I know.
He shut me up and he did it. Yeah.
It's so Stugatz, it hurts.
I think the most interesting golf story didn't come from Morikawa or anybody that was really in contention. Did you see what's going on with Cobra and Bryson DeChambeau?
Yeah.
Because... holy cow, the quote that came from this operations manager over at Cobra after Bryson is just killing this driver. It's a driver from a club maker that sponsors him. He gets paid a lot of money to trot this out there, and he's just constantly ripping the face of the club. He hates this club. And yeah, he says it sucks, which is, you know, you pay him a lot of money. It's not something that you want to hear. So Golf Week tracked down Ben Shaman, who is the operations manager, and he gave them this quote on the record. Everybody here is bending over backwards. We've got multiple guys in R&D who are CADing. CADing is computer aid design. They're CADing this and CADing that. This and that, trying to get this to that pipeline faster, and Bryson knows it. It's just really, really painful when he says something that stupid. He's never, ever really been happy. Ever. Like, it's very rare when he's happy. Now he's in the place where he's swinging a 5-degree driver with 200 RPM of ball speed. Everybody is looking for a magic bullet. Well, the magic bullet becomes harder and harder to find the faster you swing and the lower your loft gets. Fighting words at the end of that one, Dan.
He also said, it's like an 8-year-old that gets mad at you. They might fly off the handle and say, I hate you. But then you go, no, you don't.
This is fascinating to me what just happened on this show. where with no sense of irony said, Stugatz said, this guy's not getting enough attention and credit. And boom, we go straight to the soap opera.
See what I'm saying?
We like shift it. It's so
and they're
much,
right, by the
it's
way.
It's so much I mean, easier right. to yeah. talk about the stuff, the stuff that is.
Did you see what Brooks Koepka said?
Yeah. Oh, what well, he said? He was in contention.
Here we go. Yeah. Here we go.
I love my driver. My driver's great. I had a really good day because my driver was so great.
You guys don't think that coming off of what happened just last week with Stephen A. Smith and Ohtani and all of the stuff that we've been talking about for a year that seeps into sports and stop Asian hate and do guys need to look a certain way for America to embrace them? Do they have to speak a certain way? Is the language barrier something that is responsible that the foreigners, that the others have to climb over the language barrier for us, the fan, to become the kind of famous in America that their excellence deserves and demands? It is interesting to me that we arrive in the place because you're right. It is so much easier to talk about that and the pettiness of that.
Of course.
Especially given the work that all of these people do, Stugatz, to make sure that club is right. And you're hearing someone quoted saying, is that guy ever happy about anything? Is that guy ever happy? And it is something that I do believe. Like, I don't know what to say about the excellence beyond that it's excellent.
I think the interesting thing, he's 24 years old. He's from L.A., Dan, and he himself has said, we all waited, like, how would Tiger Woods really affect the future of golf? And Morikawa is saying he worked so hard because he wanted to be the next Tiger Woods. So you're seeing it right in front of your eyes right now.
Well, what happened to all the guys, Stugatz? It felt like there were four or five of them that you have anointed.
Well, Spieth was right there. I mean, Fowler's gone through, you know, it's been like a bumpy year for him. Yeah. He actually had a decent tournament. Spieth was right yesterday.
No, but Fowler will not. It can be said flatly now that he leaves that conversation. Fowler's got a bunch of top tens, but Fowler doesn't win stuff.
Like it is. It's Spieth, Justin Thomas, and DJ. DJ's one of few majors. Spieth has won three majors. Justin Thomas, I think, has won two majors. They're in every single tournament. Those guys are still there. We didn't know that Morikawa was going to come out of nowhere, and no one saw Brooks Koepka coming. So those guys are added to the mix.
I feel like there's someone missing here. That there's
Rory?
Well,
he's a little older. But yeah. He was considered that. What's his name, Sagatz?
Rory McIlroy? God,
no. That is
there was the Jason Days of the world, gets too. Me, there's man. Been a bunch of them, man.
That is where your gets dyslexia me. Always trips. McElroy. That is the speed McElroy. Bump that always gets you. Rory.
McIlroy. I get it?
Yes.
I didn't think about it. I wasn't thinking about it. Wow.
This is not the thing that ever happens to Stugatz, where the thing that trips him up is the thinking.
Stugatz here for my friends over at Simply Safe. When you travel, do concerns back home nag you? Did you lock up? Did you leave a window open? That's why I recommend investing in Simply Safe Home Security today for award-winning security and peace of mind wherever your summer plans take you. I've had Simply Safe in my home for many years now. The peace of mind it gives me, especially during the summertime when I'm all over the place, is incredible. Because I know the things I care about, the things I value back home, I can always keep an eye on it using Simply Safe's indoor and outdoor cameras. So do me a favor. Before you head out on your next vacation, make sure to protect your whole home with Simply Safe's variety of indoor and outdoor cameras. Plus, add sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more. It's backed by 24/7 professional monitoring for less than a dollar a day. No contracts to worry about and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Simply Safe has given me and many of my listeners real peace of mind. I want you to have it too. So right now, get 20% off any new Simply Safe system with Fast Protect monitoring at simplysafe.com/DLB. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Mother's Day is almost here, and you can get her the most beautiful time-tested gift around. A watch she can wear every day for Movement. Whether mom's into classic dress watches, rare and refined ceramics, or tried-and-true bestsellers, Movement has something she'll love. And right now, you can save big on the best Mother's Day gift ever with up to 50% off site-wide during Movement's Mother's Day sale at MVMT.com. Again, that's up to 50% off at MVMT.com.